This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
The man who works for the MLB Network, he works for the NFL Network. If he's not working, I don't know what he's doing because he's always busy. Unless he's taking a walk and talking to us. He's Chris Rose. Hello, Chris.
No walk today. It's later today. Later, okay. Later.
You're pacing yourself.
Yeah, well, I wanted to cut out the jackhammering. Although I could always just go outside and you could get your fill of it if you wanted it.
No, you're good. We're in the midst of road construction season here, too. We can get our own.
Got it. Okay. That's not bad. Fair enough.
Trade deadline Monday. Indians make the big deal. Bigger deal than I thought it was in number of players. I did not expect a 9-player blockbuster trade, Chris. Your initial reaction when you heard about the deal with the Padres?
Well, I wasn't surprised at all. I mean, we talked about it a few weeks ago. I said I didn't think he was long for the team. And, would he still be with the team had the thing in Chicago not happened? It's possible. But he definitely would have been gone in the offseason. I felt like that move was going to be made. But in terms of what they got back, I mean, obviously there's not that big Franmil Reyes, Yasiel Puig piece that they got last year at the deadline. And I think that's why people are upset. And I get it, but I will just tell you this. Do you know the biggest bat that moved during the trade deadline?
Starling Marte.
Yes. Moreland? Starling Marte, who went from Arizona to Miami. The Indians would have traded for him for 1 month and then whatever they got in the playoffs because they weren't going to pick up his $12.5 million option. If they were going to do that, they would have traded for him in the offseason when Pittsburgh made him available, I think. So do you trade a guy like a Clevinger for a one-month rental? You don't. Other than that, there wasn't a big bat that moved. I mean, it sounds like Joey Gallo isn't going to go anywhere from Texas, and there just weren't people that were willing to trade a bat. So I think the Indians probably did the next best thing, which is, as I explained on my social media post when it happened a few days ago, they are constantly trying to hit a moving target, which means they're trying to contend while reload at the same time, and they feel like they best did that with this trade.
Chris, are you a little shocked that it wasn't a bigger name prospect coming back instead of like guys that were fifth and seventh in the organization?
I don't pay attention to those numbers because the Padres farm system is so good that the seventh best prospect in their organization might be the third or fourth in somebody else's. So if they were to have made a trade with somebody else, let's just throw out there let's say the Dodgers, okay? Dodgers actually have a decent farm system as well, but let's say they traded him to the Dodgers, and they got the third-best prospect. Well, then all of a sudden everybody goes, well, we got the third-best prospect. Don't pay attention to the numbers. It's just not fair. It's not apples to apples at all because that farm system is so deep. And the other thing is that you just never know with prospects. For people that are really paying attention to baseball, it's a little maybe too inside baseball. The second best, most consistent player this year on the Padres, because I know Machado's really lit it up the last couple weeks, has been a guy named Jake Cronenworth. He came over in the trade with Tommy Pham from Tampa Bay and was the 16th best Padres prospect. He's going to win National League Rookie of the Year this year. So don't pay attention to the numbers.
Let's pay attention to the actual player. Your thoughts on Quantrill, who pitched two innings last night, and Josh Naylor, who looks like he's going to get every chance to be a starting outfielder for years to come, or first baseman.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's eventually a first baseman. I think he's a softball left fielder. You know, like, I'd put him out there, I guess, chase it down. You know, he made a good play last night at the fence. But he's a guy that you hope you get the lead by the seventh inning, and then Mercado goes in as a defensive replacement or something like that. But the guy, you know, from what I hear, he can knock it around. He just hasn't, you know, he's been blocked there a little bit by some guys. And he's position deficient, as we like to say. So until they got the DH in the National League, there really wasn't a spot for him with the Padres, because I can't imagine they wanted to put him in the outfield. But the Indians are so desperate for any sort of offense they can get out there alongside Naquin that they'll let him have a shot. And, you know, I'm all for it. Got a couple of knocks last night. So that was good. I mean, are the Indians better than they were before they traded Clevinger? Probably not. But as I also mentioned, I thought the guy that pitched last night was the key to the trade. How Plesac rebounds from his timeout, if you will, is the key to this team's success moving forward.
You reacted well last night, Chris.
Sure did.
Really good.
Yep. And I expect that. I mean, I think we've talked about this. He's a good kid that I think got probably led astray a little bit. And I'm not putting all this on Clevinger, because I don't think Clevinger's a bad guy at all. I want to get this out there. I think that they both made bad decisions. I thought Clevinger's was way worse in having, you know, been a part of the team meeting and then the flight home and all that ad nauseum in Chicago. But it's really important when you have young guys around, when they come up to the big leagues, that they're around what's called a good veteran. And some guys can lead you the right direction, and other guys can lead you astray. And I think that Plesac's a good kid that's smart, that obviously has a pedigree in this game, that this will be a major wake-up call for him. And nobody's ever questioned his work ethic or anything like that. That kid goes 1,000 miles an hour. And I think he'll be fine.
What did you think of the White Sox and the Twins deciding to kind of do nothing at the deadline?
Mm-hmm. I was surprised. I was really surprised. I thought the White Sox could have added another bullpen arm, a guy that's a strikeout specialist. I thought that would help them. Their lineup, though, was just unbelievably stacked. It's really good. The Twins, you know, there were rumors that they were interested in another starter. Their pitching has actually been really, really good. It's the offense, for whatever reason, that hasn't clicked a ton. And I think they just feel like, you know what, we're gonna roll with the guys we've got. And it makes sense. But, you know, like, they've gotten nothing out of Mitch Garver, who last year hit almost 30 homers at the catching position. Some other guys just haven't played up to par yet. And I think they feel like, well, we've made it this far. We're right at the top of the American League Central. That let's just roll with the dudes we've got. But I thought it was interesting.
Chris Rose joining us from the MLB Network. Do you hear much from the folks you talk to in Major League Baseball about the younger guys? Arias coming in, the shortstop, Owen Miller at second base, and the Cantillo, the 20-year-old pitcher?
Yeah. I mean, people love Arias. They, you know, he's the one that they feel like could really be the diamond in this deal. You know, and Owen Miller, the more you read about him, the more important he becomes, because he's just one of those guys that isn't position heavy, that you can move him around. And I think that is huge in today's game, that you can play him anywhere. And that's going to be a big deal for a team like the Indians moving forward, where they're going to have an opening somewhere based on guys they don't pay. And Cantillo looks really interesting. I don't know if you've seen him throw, but he's tall, he's lanky.
Yeah.
You know, and we've said this, that the Indians' best talent is a front office, for whatever reason, is pinpointing guys in other organizations bringing them over here and then turning them into really good major league players. They've been doing this really the last 15 years.
Sure have.
It started with Chu and his Drupal Cabrera, and even Carlos Santana came over in that Casey Blake deal with the Dodgers. Brantley, Kluber, Clevinger. So those are all guys that we weren't super excited about for the most part when they came over in a trade, but they developed into really good major league players and in some cases award winners.
They are beyond good at that. They've got a pitching factory going down there, and it just seems like, you know, the next one will find its way up there. And the kid that's throwing tonight, and Tristan McKenzie, what do you think of him so far?
Good. I you know, his last start was a real struggle because teams are going to make him really find the zone. And the biggest jump for guys, I think, from a pitching standpoint when they make the major leagues is that guys up here do not leave the zone. Like, if it's 2 inches outside, they're going to make you get that back in the strike zone before they swing. So your pitch count is going to build up quickly. But he's fun. I love his personality. I think he fits right in. And I don't think there's a ton of pressure on him right now. With all the other guys that have been successful, that if he just goes out and throws his 5 innings right now, that's perfect.
Chris Rose is joining us. You said something earlier, Chris, and I think this deal epitomizes that, which is the rebuild without, you know, gutting it, rebuild while still trying to contend. And I thought this deal, more than the Bauer deal and some of the other things they've done, screamed that because of the number of players coming back from the Padres. That, okay, if we can hit on two or three of these guys, and if we get really lucky and hit on four of these guys, we have some young guys who can help us under good financial control for a long period of time. This just had more of that feel to me than some of the other deals. And I can't say it's a bad thing.
No, it's – you can be upset because of, we don't pay anybody. Listen, guys, this is the way it's gone. This isn't anything new. I've told you this before, that the biggest deal they ever gave to a single player was Edwin Encarnacion, and that ended up being $65 million guaranteed. That's the most they've ever paid. And people say, well, why can the Padres do it? They're a small market. Well, their ownership, look at what they've done in recent years. They gave $144 million to Hosmer, and then the next year they doubled down. They gave $300 million to Machado.
Yeah.
And they've traded for a guy like Tommy Pham, who makes a nice chunk of change. They give Will Myers like $80 million. And, you know, people, why can't we be like that? Well, I can't answer that question. It's just, you know what you are. It's just like, to me, it's funny. Like, people say, they vote for a politician. Well, I never expected that person when they got into office to act like that. Really? You knew it at the beginning. So, like, things should not surprise you. This is the MO for the Indians. This is how they do it. Do we wish they could have a $200 million payroll? Absolutely. But they're not going to. And so they have to operate this way. And that's why Antonetti and Chernoff and Tito, when he's there, and their baseball ops people and their baseball development people are all top of the line in this business.
So where does this put the team, you think, going forward? Are they now a World Series contender in your eyes, or they remain the same where they were before? Or what do you think?
Yeah, they're exactly where they were. I mean, people say we're not as good because Clevinger won't start game two. Guys, this year it's totally different. It is a three-game series to start out with. So whether the Indians end up being the 1, 2, or 3 seed, or the 4, 5, 6 seed or something else, they're not going to fall below 6. It's so weird because a best 2 out of 3 series is like the weekend series they played against Detroit 2 weeks ago, right? Like, they lost 2 out of 3 at home. Detroit's not a better team than the Indians. I don't care who the starting pitchers are that weekend, but they just got. And so I think that was their hesitancy in, I don't know if it was trying to go all in for a major hitter. If they'd tried to pry Joey Gallo away, they would have had to sweeten that pot with something else. So I think they're just going to try to take their chances. It sounds weird, but I think you just got to do that this year.
Chris, thank you very much, sir.
Hang on. I got one question for you, Chris, being a native Clevelander. This is probably the most important question you're going to get all day. They've just released the Cavs uniforms. There is a Jumpman logo on the Cleveland Cavalier uniforms. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I was at that game. What could be said or done or put on a uniform that would make you – I mean, are you bothered by it?
I don't care. I just think it's funny.
Oh, you do?
I think it's pretty funny that, you know, here we go. Here's this guy that, you know, hit this great shot in your franchise against your team, and now they're going to put him on the uniform as just a proof that he owns you even more.
Oh, stop. Listen, get in line on that one. You know, they should, in that case, they should be putting it on the Knicks, the Jazz, you know. Yeah. Heck, let's
Portland.
Bring the Sonics out of retirement. Right,
they will be.
You know, we could, yeah, all that. It doesn't bother me, but that's okay. May 7th, 1989. Let's move on, guys.
Wow, you're glad it's not burned into your memory, Chris. Thank you, sir.
Thanks, brother.
All right, guys, take care.
Chris Rose, MLB Network, joining us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.